Thank you, Jesse. Happy Sabbath, everyone.
Happy
Sabbath. Nice to be back up here again so soon. It was only about a month ago I was up here last time. So just a few slides today along with my message. This is a message about a topic that I think should be very near and dear to all of our hearts. It certainly is to mine. And I feel like it's an important thing to consider when you're in God's church and you're working on your spiritual growth. The title of my message today is Golf and Christian Living. I play a lot of golf. It's a sport that I probably enjoy a little bit more than I should. I spend a good majority of my free time doing it. And I know a lot of people who do the same. It can be a bit of an addiction, to be honest, but part of the big appeal to golf, and a lot of people who haven't played don't realize this, is that it epitomizes so much of life. And there are so many lessons in golf that carry over into life itself and into Christian living as well, hence the title of my message. This is a typical golf scorecard. I hope you guys can see most of what I want you to see on here. Right in the middle, between all the blank boxes, on the left it says par. Each one of those boxes from the left to the right is a hole, so the first one is the first hole, and on that hole it's a par four. That means that they give you four shots to make it into the hole from the tee box, all right? Just four shots. And that should be the minimum amount of shots that it takes a good golfer to make it into the hole. At the top, if you're hitting from the blue tees, that's 365 yards, which means if you're hitting a 200-yard drive, you're in the middle, hopefully. You have another 165 yards to get onto the green. That's two shots. And now you only have two more. They call it a two-putt par. So if you can get it, putt it close enough and then knock it in, you get par. That may sound easy to do, but that's actually very difficult. In fact, in golf, if you can make par on most of your holes, they call that being a scratch golfer. And that's where you have to get to play golf professionally. That's somewhere I don't think I will ever be. I shoot for something called bogey golf, which is where I average one over par per hole, or 18 over for a round. And right now I'm maybe 50% there. I won't give you any exact figures. But the point of telling you about par is in golf you have to make every shot count. You're only given so many shots to make it into the hole. So you really have to concentrate. You have to come up with a plan for every hole. You have to know where you're going to hit it. You have to know how to avoid the hazards. Any stray shot is going to punish you and often results in even more challenges or penalties if recovery is not immediate. This is a graphic that I pulled up from the internet I wouldn't really call this a typical fairway, but I wanted to incorporate all of the standard hazards and kind of the standard layout of the course. If you can see my cursor, that's good. Over here we have the water hazard. You don't want to hit in the water because what will happen is you'll get a penalty stroke because you basically have to pretend that you're hitting it back out of the water onto the fairway so you can continue. And then we have bunkers to the right of the green, which don't require penalties, but you do have to hit it out of the bunker and hit a nice good shot to get yourself back on the green, which can be very, very difficult. And then over here, all this shrubbery on the right and then some on the left there, this is all out of bounds, so that's a penalty shot as well. And then this light green is the fairway, and this is where you want to hit it because this is going to give you a nice clean lie. It's easy to hit from, and you'll have a nice good setup for your next shot. If you hit it over here in the darker green along the sides of the fairway, that's called the rough. And the rough is pretty tough to shoot out of. Depending on the difficulty of the course, it can be quite deep. And all of these things, aside from hitting it in the fairway, are going to make it very difficult for you to make it onto the green in two shots and get your par. So what does this have to do with Christian living? There's a common phrase from the Bible that people say, narrow is the path to righteousness. Let's open up our Bibles, and we're going to turn to Matthew. And I want to read Matthew 7, verse 13. I left my Bible upstairs. That's almost like forgetting your putter. All right, Matthew 7, verse 13 says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it." Hitting a proper golf shot requires complete concentration and discipline. And there are many things that you have to remember to do all in that very short period of time. I've compiled a list of just a few of them because I don't want to go crazy here, just to give you an idea of what you have to think about when you approach the tee box or when you're approaching your ball for a shot. Some of them are as follows. Keep your back straight and your head down. Feet shoulder width apart. Set your grip on the club and lower it down to the ball in the proper position for the club you're using, because each club requires a different ball position between your feet, depending on what club you're using. Shoulders and feet stay parallel with the ball line or where you want to shoot. So if I'm going this way, my feet, my toes are creating a line that point directly at where I'm supposed to go, along with the club face. Left arm in your backswing, stay straight throughout the backswing. Your right knee has to stay pointed forward. You have to keep your head still as your shoulders and waist wind up and release. You can never take your eye off the ball. And you have to keep your head down even after you've made contact with your ball. What most people do, and you know, I'm guilty of this just as everyone else, is we usually want to see where a ball is going to go. So we start looking up before we actually hit the ball. We feel like we're not doing that, but we really are. And that split second you lift your head, you're going to pull your left arm in the wrong direction, and you're going to completely miss your ball. You're going to top it, hit it low, or you're going to yank it to the left or push it to the right, etc. Your body has to turn with your swing, your head still staying stationary, and then you follow through until your belt buckle is pointing towards your ball's destination. Now, that's just a few things. And if any of those things are missed during your golf swing or any of the other things, you're going to hit a bad shot. And you're going to end up in the rough or in out of bounds or in the water or in the bunker. Oftentimes when somebody hits a bad golf shot, they go, "I only remember to do 22 out of the 28 things I was supposed to do." And that's actually pretty accurate. God only gives us 10 things to remember. He gives us 10 commandments to follow, which we must follow diligently to stay on the path of righteousness. We all know those. You shall never have any gods before me. You shall not make yourself an idol nor bow down to it to worship. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. You shall remember and keep the Sabbath day holy. Respect your father and mother. You must not commit murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not be envious or provide false evidence against your neighbor. And you must not be envious of your neighbor's goods. You shall not be envious of your neighbor's house or his wife, nor anything that belongs to your neighbor, or in other words, somebody else. These Ten Commandments are the foundations of all of God's laws, and failing to obey one of these laws causes us to fall short of righteousness and causes us to lead us astray. Oftentimes when myself or another player ends up in the bunker, for example, or the rough, and it takes a number of shots to get the ball back onto the fairway, I usually make a comment like, "Golf is life." It's actually endearing to remember when playing golf that life is not always easy. Sometimes we mess up, and sometimes it can be downright painful. Yet the only option we have is to accept where we are in a tight spot, overcome the situation, and continue to move forward on our path. For some reason, this parallel with life makes the challenge of golf even more enjoyable, even when it gets rough. In order to be a good Christian and stay out of the rough, we have to learn to obey God and study and practice, through study and practice, learning to follow God in all that we do, and that can take a lifetime to achieve. Just like learning to follow God in golf, proper instruction and practice is crucial. People like myself who are self-taught or who may have received improper instruction from a non-certified party can have bad habits, and that can be extremely difficult to break. And that's if they figure out what they were doing is wrong. These bad habits can even lead to painful injuries that can take a long time to heal and often prevent one from being able to play golf until the healing is complete. And that's happened to me before. I couldn't play golf pretty much between September of last year and March of this year. In Matthew 7, verse 15, it says, "Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves, and you will know them by their fruits." The fruit of a good Christian are apparent, just as are the fruits of a good golfer, who keeps their ball in the fairway, avoiding hazards in the rough. Even though we do sometimes go slightly astray, we have the skills, or a good Christian has the skills, skill set to quickly recover from these positions and get back on track. A good Christian must carefully consider everything they do and execute those actions with precision and with excellence. Once a person learns to use proper form and is able to hit a successful golf shot, the game becomes extremely rewarding. I don't really know how to describe the feeling that overtakes me when I hit a good golf shot, or even when I play a good round and achieve a low score. Yet the reward of playing golf pales in insignificance when compared to the reward prepared for those of us who serve God and who keep his commandments. Revelation 21, verse 4 says, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." 2 Timothy 4, 7 through 8 says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Finally, brethren, in golf, the score you get is the score you keep. There are no mulligans in tournament play. Every stroke and every penalty remains on your scorecard, and it is the sum of those strokes by which you are judged at the end of the round. In contrast with golf, even before Christ paid for the sins of mankind, God would forgive men of their sins if they performed the proper rituals and sacrifices. Then Christ made it able for every man to have forgiveness through the shedding of his blood and through repentance and acceptance of him as our Messiah. Unlike golf, we all have the ability to obtain righteousness in the eyes of the Lord our God. But in order for that to happen, we have to give it our best shot. We cannot play haphazardly and expect to be forgiven. We must work hard at our approach to all of life's situations. We must study and practice often, being a Christian. And even when we find ourselves in a tough spot, we must rely on God to help us find our way out of the bunkers and into that narrow fairway known as the path of righteousness.